pray, Father, and here we thank you for another opportunity to come and study the word of truth tonight. We pray as we listen in that we are encouraged, Lord, as we study the word of truth right divided. Lord, we praying that by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit that we are enlightened and that we are encouraged and that we are edified when we come from this study tonight. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we thank God for this opportunity tonight. And once again, salvation is important, my brothers and sisters. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My brothers and sisters, Romans 5:8-9 says, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. My brothers and sisters, to be saved, we must believe the gospel. And the word gospel means good news. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, my brothers and sisters, he said, 1-4, more of a brethren, he said, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which ye also have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is the gospel we must believe in order to be saved, my brothers and sisters. Now, tonight we still dealing with sin and salvation in Genesis 3. But we're going to talk about the first Adam. He failed. The second Adam, he was victorious. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:45-49, and so it's written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that for was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. What Adam and his children failed to do because of sin, Jesus Christ will do for the Father's God, glory, God's glory. Now, in the Garden of Eden, Adam handed over to Satan his political authority in the earth. Genesis chapter 3. Satan thus boasted of his earthly power and why he's the God of this world. If you read Matthew 4:8-11, it allows us to see Satan's boasting, my brothers and sisters. Just as Adam is the federal head of the human race, my brothers and sisters, so Christ is the federal head of a new human race leading to justification. Adam was leading to condemnation, my brothers and sisters. Now read all of Romans chapter 5, and you can see also in 1 Corinthians 15:45-47, my brothers and sisters, which also compare Christ and Adam. Now, most Christians, let me say this tonight, they wrongly assume that sin began with Adam. Let me say that again. Most Christians wrongly assume that sin began with Adam. It is in the light of sin occurring previous to the sin of Adam that the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world. The whole creation, arrangement in heaven and on earth. Now, later when Adam sinned and came under the sentence of death, it was revealed that salvation, forgiveness, and new life for mankind had already been planned for by God before the world began. If you read Ephesians 1:3-4, my brothers and sisters, you will see God's word right there, my brothers and sisters. If you read Ephesians 3, now you know what I'm going to take you. I'm going to take you there right quick, my brothers and sisters, because I want you to get Ephesians 1:3-4. He says, my brothers and sisters, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. My brothers and sisters, thus we find God's provision of the Lamb of God who take away the sin of the world was accomplished first in the heart of God from the foundation of the world. A time previous to the sin of Adam, God shed innocent blood, likely in the presence of Adam, in order to provide what we were studying a few weeks ago, a skin covering for Adam's nakedness and his sin. This animal sacrifice, as you read Genesis, was a metaphor for Jesus' effectual sacrificial life given on Adam and our behalf, as we later realized through Paul's revelation of the mystery, the meaning of the cross. Thus, John the Baptist pointed to Jesus as the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. Now, here Paul makes it clear that sin and death existed prior to God placing Adam in the garden. By one man's sin, the sin nature of Satan entered into the world from outside, and death by that sin, Romans 5:12. Sin came from outside the world, from the highest heaven into Adam, affecting the whole world. We must look back even farther than Adam for the real beginning of sin's ruin. We find evidence of sin first appearing apart from man in Lucifer, who sinned and then marked his evil. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will sit above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. What we just read, Isaiah 14:12-15:8. By the multitude of the merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherubim, from the midst of the stones of fire. That's Ezekiel 28:16. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned, look at here, from the beginning, before Genesis 1:2, my brothers and sisters. And you can read 1 John 3:8. As we get going with this message tonight, it must be stressed that we are responsible if we do not believe, because faith is communicated through hearing the gospel. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is no way we can on our own overcome sin. Only God can solve the problem of sin and give us victory over it through his supernatural power. Victory comes a gift from God through faith. We can fight against the different symptoms of sin. We can try to overcome wrong habits, but what we really need is transformation of the heart, the experience of a new birth and a pure heart, because our real problem is our sinful heart. In the Christian world, it is common to hear that we are created in God's image. Now, if we heard it all of our lives, then it must be true, right? Now, many in the body of Christ is under the impression that we are made in God's image. But what does the Bible say, my brothers and sisters? Of course, it says something else entirely. Let the Bible speak for itself. What said the scripture? The Bible says in Genesis 1:26-27, and God said, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Now, while the Bible does indeed say that Adam and Eve were created in God's image, it never say that we were created in God's image. Here's why it's important to make the distinction. My brothers and sisters, let's take a closer look at Genesis 5, 1 through 3. It says, this is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them and called their name Adam. In the day when they were created, and Adam lived 130 years, and he begot a son. Look at here now. Catch this tonight. He begot a son in his own likeness and after his image, and called his name Seth. Notice above how the language that describes Adam is starkly different from the language that describes his son Seth. Adam was created in the likeness of God. Now, Genesis 5, verse 1, that is clearly what the Bible says. However, post-fall, in other words, after Adam and Eve sinned, notice in Genesis 5, 3, Adam and Eve had a son, and the son was born after Adam's what? Own likeness and after his image. Verse 3, the entrance of sin into the world changed human makeup. What was once the reflection of God's glory was not a reflection of man's wretchedness. Seth was not sinless as Adam originally was. Adam descendants, even today, anyone born into this world has inherited a sin nature, or what the Bible calls the old man, Romans 6:6, wherein the first Adam fell, the second Adam, he won. He was victorious. And I want you to go and read Romans 5, 14 through 21. It says, Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after similitude of Adam's transgression, who is to figure him that was to come, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judge was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offense unto justification. And verse 19 says, for as by one man disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. My brothers and sisters, rather than being after God's image, we are after Adam's image. We are naturally sinful, dead in our trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. To be made in God's image means that man reflects God and his righteousness. Sinful man is not an accurate representation of God. However, Jesus Christ is a perfect representation of God. Notice these few verses. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that Jesus is the image of God. Colossians 1:15 said, Christ is the image of the invisible God. Colossians 2:9 says that in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now we just read 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be what? Made alive. 1 Corinthians 15:45 through 49. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earth, such is also they that are earthy, and as is the heaven, such are they that are heavenly, my brothers and sisters. Before the fall, in Genesis chapter 3, Adam was a perfect representation of God and his righteousness. Once Adam sinned, however, death has passed upon all men, Romans 5:12. In order to gain God's righteousness, my brothers and sisters, we have to be in Jesus Christ. And the only way that would happen is if we rely on Calvary's finished cross work, the exhibition of Christ's righteousness. For God made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. My brothers and sisters, Satan will continue to attack God and his word and God's messengers. Listen to these words very carefully. The danger in believing that we are made in God's image can be summed up in the following statement. Satan has deceived many into thinking this way. Listen to this. This is how Satan has deceived many into thinking this way. Listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Listen to this. This is human nature. It's what a lot of folks believe is not evil in itself. They say we are still made in God's image. We are not completely corrupted by sin. Sin has merely impaired or weakened us. Now, my brothers and sisters, it takes a little discernment to see that this statement is very appealing and flattering to the flesh. I am not that bad. Although I'm not perfect, I still have something to offer God. Oh, we corrupt now. You get in that old nature. You'll see the corruptness of us, even saints in the body of Christ. We have that sin nature, my brothers and sisters. I want to do the best I can with what I have so God would be happy with me. God helps those who help themselves. My brothers and sisters, suppose that we are made in God's image means we completely miss the fact that we have no fellowship with God in our natural state when we're born into this world. As David said, we are conceived in sin. We were shapen in what? Iniquity. Psalm 51:5 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother, what? Conceive me. From birth, no human reflects God's righteousness and holiness. That is what sin is. This is why God wants to give us a new nature in Christ. One that is not offensive to him. One that would generate good works instead of sinful actions. My brothers and sisters, what Adam and Eve lost in the Garden of Eden, Christ came to restore at the cross. Our new true identity and must be shaped and built according to the victory accomplished by Jesus Christ. God did not leave us to the power of Satan and sin. The Spirit of God brings victory when we by faith cling to God and his word rightly divided. Because the Holy Spirit and the word of God can produce true life. Romans 8:4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walketh not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Bible says Adam and Eve were both naked, and they were not ashamed. Genesis 1:25. How could they be naked and yet unashamed? In 1 Timothy 6:16, we read of Jesus Christ dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto. Again, God's righteousness, holiness emanate from his body in the form of a bright light. O Lord, my God, who covered thyself with light as with a garment. Psalms 104:2. Originally before the fall, Adam and Eve did not wear physical clothes, but they were clothed with something. They were clothed with the righteousness of God himself. Because sin had not entered into creation yet. As we mentioned earlier, God created man in his image. Genesis 1:26-27. Man was originally sinless, as perfect as God. When Adam and Eve disobeyed by eating the forbidden fruit, God's righteousness left their bodies. They were sinners now. So God's light no longer covered them spiritually and physically. Adam and Eve were physically and spiritually naked. So they frantically gathered itchy fig leaves and covered themselves. Genesis 3:7. The Lord God, in his great love and grace, sought these lost souls. Adam and Eve hid, too afraid to approach our holy and righteous God. But God, in his brilliance, devised a plan to restore them. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Genesis 3:21. The Bible says that God killed innocent animals. He used the blood to provide Adam and Eve spiritual clothes, forgiveness. And the skin served as their physical clothes. By the way, if you are familiar with your Bible, you recall that Joseph had a coat of many colors. God was using Joseph to preview Jesus Christ. Now, Israel, Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. Genesis 37:3. God was going to use Israel, Joseph's family, to reflect his glory in the earth. This is what Adam and Eve failed to do. God did that for Adam and Eve and Israel. And in Christ, he does that for us too. If we have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been clothed with God's righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. We just read it. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Christ, we are just as Adam and Eve were before the fall, in perfect standing before God. Our physical bodies are still connected to Adam, but the day is coming when we in Christ Jesus will receive glorified bodies, fashioned like unto his glorious body. Philippians 3:20-21. This is what we call over here the rapture, what the Bible calls the redemption of our bodies. I encourage you to read 1 Corinthians 15, noting especially verse 49, and as we have borne the image of the earthly Adam, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly Christ. Now let me reiterate Genesis 2:25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Adam and Eve were originally physically naked, yet they were not ashamed. Then in chapter 3 we read of them, of their nakedness. We read of them eating the forbidden fruit. There is man's fall into sin. Now Adam and Eve are ashamed of their nakedness. Why? Genesis 3:7. And the eyes of them were both open, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Originally, Adam and Eve were physically naked, but they were not ashamed because the light of God's righteousness covered their bodies. Once they sinned, they lost that clothing of light, and their nakedness led to them being ashamed. They attempted to cover themselves with fig leaves, replacing God's righteousness with their own human efforts and religion. Genesis 3:7. When someone is justified, made righteous before God through Jesus Christ's shed blood, they receive the spiritual clothing that Adam and Eve once had. Now, as Christians, our fallen physical bodies do not reflect in our light as Adam and Eve did. While God shed animal blood to cover Adam and Eve's sin, he had to cover them physically too. And that's what Genesis 3:21 says. There was a physical covering, and there was a spiritual covering, the animal's blood. That blood typified. So what a lot of folks don't realize, that's why you have to study the whole Bible. It was written, the whole Bible was written for us. So, but not everything that we read in it was written directly what? To us. Huh? But we need to study the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation. That blood typified or represented the blood of Christ that would be shed on Calvary's cross many centuries later. When God's righteousness applied to one's account, the event is likened unto putting on a robe of righteousness. God is clothing someone with the garments of salvation. All of those who are on God's side have his righteousness. They reflect his glory. This reminds us of something else, another special set of clothing that mirror God's glory. For Romans 8:14, for as many led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The solution to sin involves not only forgiveness, but also the renewing restoration of the image of God in humanity and freedom from slavery to sin, sin addictions. A new life is word and spirit oriented. My brothers and sisters, let me say this. Romans 8. 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Those who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the spirit, and who are led by the Holy Spirit are sons and daughters of God. Only when we surrender to God, decide for him and allow him to be God in our lives, do we experience the difference of a new life. So we need to fight every day for a close relationship with God. Romans 8:31-39. I just read 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And he spared, that he spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not him would also freely give us all things? And verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Only Jesus can give the true joy of a new victorious life. The good news is that Jesus Christ regenerates and changes our hearts. Forgive us all our sins, Colossians 2:13. He liberates us from the bondage to sin, and he transforms our lives. If the Son gives freedom, we are indeed free. Sin began with pride, but is defeated by humility. There is hope for us because sin was overcome through Jesus Christ's willingness to humble himself as the guarantor of freedom, peace, joy, and eternal life. Philippians 2:6-8 says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, look what he did. He humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. My brothers and sisters, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We need transformation, my brothers and sisters. Yes, we have an old nature. And that old nature, as I always say, he's always ready for a party. Yes, the old nature is always knocking at your door. Why do you think Paul tells us to walk in the spirit and we won't fulfill what? The lust of the flesh. We are born into this world corrupt. My brothers and sisters, folks don't understand the depravity of that old nature, that old Adam. They don't understand how he can take you into the depths of corruptness. They just don't understand that old nature. There is nothing good in that old nature. My brothers and sisters, we need transformation. We need transformation. Yes. Get out of Adam and get in Christ. But that's not it. We need transformation once we get in Christ. Like I said some weeks ago at my uncle's eulogy, my brothers and sisters, many times we done got saved and we done just sat down. Huh? But I want to encourage you tonight that to get in God's word and not only get in it, but walk in it. Because whatever you was doing before you got saved, if you was a liar, if you was a cheater, if you were lazy, my brothers and sisters, those behaviors, they are still right there. We need to be transformed. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word tonight. We pray as those who listen in that they were encouraged and that they were enlightened and that they were edified in your word. We thank you for this platform to teach your word rightly divided. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.